Blog Talk Radio.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah who came to us in the person of Master Farah Muhammad, and I bear witness that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is indeed his last messenger. I further bear witness that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder, leader, teacher, guide, and warner in our midst. And it is my distinct honor to once again greet you all all of you on the phone, in the chat room, and my distinguished panelists, in our nation's greeting words of peace. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam, Sister Queen.
Thank you. Thank you, family. And wow, I tell you that the audience beat us here tonight. All praises due to Allah. We're going to try to be as accommodating as we can. I understand the phone lines are full. Some people might not be able to get in, so you can join us in one or two chat rooms, either on Blog Talk or either in my Google chat room, which is GidjaMuhammad@gmail.com, easy to find. And so we are here tonight to talk about courtship out of control. And Sister Ruth and Brother Stanley, before I bring you on, I just want to give the listening audience a little background on where this topic has, you know, derived from. Many of you know me. I'm a marriage counselor, and I talk to many people about relationships, not necessarily just married people, and not necessarily just members of the Nation of Islam. So this is not exclusive to any particular group of people. This is just across the board. And I have been listening to a lot of situations that have taken place, and it seems like social media is having a profound effect, whether negative or positive, on the courtship process, or even for people who are not in the nation and they're not familiar with the courtship process. Social media is out of control. And if social media is out of control, then so is the courtship process. And so I am so honored and blessed tonight to have with me a very powerful couple who are only a few days away from celebrating their 24th anniversary, if I'm not mistaken, of marriage together. They have been a wonderful example of success in marriage and in Islam. And so without further delay, it's no need for me to introduce these people, but of course I will present them. Student Minister Stanley Muhammad, who is head of the College Park Study Group, soon to be a mosque. I don't know what number you'll be, but I know you're quickly on your way. And before we get into that, Brother Stanley, tell us about your efforts going on in College Park.
Yeah, thank you, Sister Queen. Assalamu alaikum to you, Sister Queen, and to the listening audience. Once again, it's a pleasure and an honor to be on these airwaves, conveying the teachings of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad as taught by the honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. First, I'd like to start off in the most holy name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Most Merciful, who appeared to us in divine person, the Master Farad Muhammad, to whom praises are due forever, the Lord of all the worlds. We can never thank Allah enough for his divine presence among us in raising up the exalted Christ, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, and we can never thank them both enough for leaving in the absence of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, the spiritual son of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, and I'm referring to the Vicar of Christ, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Sister Queen, we have some very exciting activities taking place in College Park, but one of the crowning activities that's taking place this month, we're bringing in that wonderful fireball, that preacher of freedom, justice, and equality, coming from Indianapolis, Indiana, Brother Student Minister Nuri Muhammad. And we have a wonderful weekend, the weekend of April 25th, 26th, and 27th. And the question is, where do you stand in your relationship? How to build a happy family life weekend? It's going to be absolutely powerful. On the 25th, we're going to have a wonderful Jumu'ah prayer service, asking Allah to bless our efforts. And then we're going to have a social evening, inshallah, at the Blue Seas Restaurant, and a powerful study group as well. And then that next day on the 26th, we're going to have a wonderful banquet at 4 p.m. Doors open at 3 o'clock. And we're going to have wonderful live entertainment as we eat that delicious salmon and Arabian rice and that nice soup, and everything's going to just be so tasty. And then we're going to hear a powerful message from Brother Nuri. But after you wash down that delicious vegetarian and salmon meal with a nice cool glass of lemonade with that condensation dripping down on the side. And then after that, we're going to give you a nice dessert, and then we're going to hear from that fireball preacher of freedom, justice, and equality, Brother Nuri Muhammad, and he's going to be dealing with how to build a happy family life, as he is a married man for over 23 years with beautiful children. And then after we hear that message, we're going to have a panel discussion with Brother Nuri and his wife, and my wife and myself, and Brother Sharif and his beautiful wife, Sister Sharifa. And you would be able to ask questions to Brother Nuri and his wife about your relationship, about child rearing, about anything dealing with family, solutions to the problems, healing the wounds of our family. And I just don't want you to miss this. And this is going to be to build a beautiful mosque in College Park. I don't know if you know, College Park has the busiest or the biggest airport in the country. Hartsfield Atlanta Airport actually sits right in College Park. So everyone in the country flies into College Park. And I want, when you fly into Atlanta or College Park, you see that beautiful crescent moon and the star lit up at night. That will be the baby Mas Mariam in College Park. That's what we're raising money for, that we will be able to address the total needs of our people right here in the city of College Park. So we want you to come and be a part of this wonderful weekend. But after we hear from Brother Nuri, we have a panel discussion. Sister Queen, you know what we're going to do? We're going to have some live rappers, live R&B singers. We're going to dim the lights, and we're going to put the spotlight on the stage, and we got a dance floor, and we're going to jam. We're going to have a righteous good time. And the social, yes, the single brothers and the single sisters will be properly chaperoned by the married couple, so you can get to know a good sister and a good brother in a righteous atmosphere and have music after you. You can dance that food off in a righteous way.
Yes, sir.
It's all in cost. It's a donation, small donation per individual, $50. And if you're a couple, see, you get discounts when you're married. When you're married, you only got to pay $80. You get a $20 discount. But it's all going to a righteous cause. Now, if you want tickets, my wife said call her number, but you can call my number too. Sisters, call Sister Ruth's number, 404-642-0169. Or you can call my number, 404-232-5818. Once again, 404-232-5818. The tickets are going fast. We got some beautiful hotel rooms. It's going to be at the Holiday Inn Suites, Sister Queen. They put $27 million in this hotel, and it is plush. And we have a few rooms that go up for $59 a night, just a few that actually normally go for $139 a night, and they gave us a great deal. And after those are sold, they would give us a rate of $79 a night, which is still a great deal. So you can spend the whole weekend in Atlanta, Georgia, College Park, Georgia, and enjoy yourself. And then on Sunday, we're going to have a powerful meeting right there at the Holiday Inn Suites. You don't want to miss it, because it's going to be a place where we're going to build strong families, and you can't have a strong nation without a strong family. Thank you, Sister Queen, for allowing me to share.
Yes, sir. All praise is due to Allah.
And Brother Stanley and Sister Ruth, I just want to say that you all are doing a magnificent work in College Park, and you are being such a wonderful, wonderful example to all of us. So may Allah continue to bless you in your endeavors, and anything that I can do and we can do to support your efforts, you know we're right here and always willing to help. Brother, we salute you and Sister Ruth for your service to our nation and in our nation. Thank you so very much for everything that you're doing. Okay.
Thank you as well.
Now
I
we can hear.
Can I give the website real quick, Sister Queen? I apologize. My wife texted me and said, give the website. Our website to order tickets is www.collegeparksga.com. That's www.collegeparksga.com. S is in Stanley, G is in group. So please go online. You can order tickets, get more information. And thank you so much, Sister Queen, for allowing us to make this wonderful announcement.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Anything to encourage family and marriages. Okay, and let's hear from the Queen, Sister Ruth.
Assalamualaikum, ma'am.
Wa alaikum salam, dear sister. How are you?
Oh, I thank Allah for life. I cannot complain. In the name of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful, I bear witness there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger. The most honorable Elijah Muhammad is the exalted Christ, and the honorable Minister Farrakhan is his representative in this day and time. And I want to let everyone know that I am Sister Ruth Muhammad, and I am been married to Brother Stanley for going on 24 years on the 22nd of this month. We have 7 girls and 2 boys, and I just, you know, thank Allah for blessing me with Islam because it has given me a peace of mind and a contentment of mind. And I know that when we strive to live upright, you know, that's what we receive is peace. So I thank Allah for that.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And thank you both for joining us once again tonight. Okay, the topic tonight is courtship out of control. And, of course, it's having to do with social media. Now, let me tell you, social media has been very beneficial to a lot of couples, even in the Nation of Islam, because I know couples who have met on Facebook or any other form of social media. They met, they've gone through the courtship process, a very challenging one often because of the distance. Sometimes you meet a brother or sister who is not located in your city on Facebook, and, you know, something clicks, something happens, and you go into this long-distance courtship, and they get married. And you know, so far, the ones that I know, they've been successful and with the process as well as so far in the marriage. And then there are others that have attempted the process through social media, and something just goes awry. And so I have been studying the effects of social media on the courtship process, and it's just something about excessive use. And I'm putting emphasis on excessive, the excessive use of social media, because we have all these little tricks and gadgets. You know, first it was email, and then you could text on your phone. Then you could send pictures. Now you can video chat. And that has gotten a lot of people in a lot of trouble. Inbox messages have gotten a lot of people in a lot of trouble. And I just want to remind, because we don't want to reinvent the wheel, I'm just going to remind everybody one more again about the courtship process as it relates to social media. So if you see a sister or brother
I prefer to just put this on the brothers. I'm not a favorite of a sister pursuing a brother. Maybe I'm old fashioned, but I'm just really not down with that. But if a brother sees a sister that he's interested in, and if you go on her page and you cannot locate her city, then it's okay to ask the sister after you investigate, because it could be some clues on the page what city she's in. But if it's not, it's okay to ask the sister, what city are you in? But it shouldn't really go beyond that. If the sister's reluctant to tell you, or if she asks why, I think you should express why in a very decent manner. But go through the process. It will save you so much trouble. Go through the process. Find out what city she's in. Inquire with your captain brothers about the sister. Ask your brother captain to get in touch with that sister captain to inquire if the sister, number one, is available, and number two, if she's interested. That sister captain will get back with your brother captain. Your brother captain will get back with you. It's really not that hard, but that direct approach, Brother Stanley and Sister Ruth, that hitting you up in the inbox and saying, "Assalamu alaikum, sister, you sure look nice in your garment, you got a beautiful face, what city you in, you in courtship," and it kind of like starts from there. So, you know, there have been just a lot of things that have carried on in the inboxes in particularly, and I'm not going to give any details. But I want to speak to the morality of the courtship process. And Brother Stanley, you and I talked about this. Let's talk about briefly the moral authority and responsibility that we as Muslims have, and I'm going to let you talk about the moral authority of the brothers.
Okay, thank you, Sister Queen. First and foremost, that the minister has a book called The Teachings 2.0, Twitter Sayings of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And on page 9, there's a question asked by one of the social media followers of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. What is the proper use of Facebook and Twitter for the believers? And the minister answered, social media should facilitate the cause of friendship and the passing of knowledge, creating bonds and brotherly love. This is the purpose of social media. Now, when you and I stay within the parameters of the minister's divine guidance, this preserves our moral authority. When a man lives according to the law of God, the law of God is like a ladder that we must climb to possess the Spirit of God. And we all know it's not easy being right in a wrong world, but this law can be lived. We have proof in the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Farrakhan and many others. But there's no way, brothers and sisters, that God can raise a nigger or a negro into a God except by means of law. And then we're taught by the Honorable Minister Farrakhan that where there's no law, there's no love. Now here you have a criterion as a man. If you love, then therefore you impose the law on yourself. And when a woman sees you living the law, striving to live according to that law, struggling to be right in a wrong world, now she begins to look up to you and admire you because you're in the world, but you're not of the world. So living that law produced that unalikeness that will attract people to you. You'll be like a magnet. But when women and men see us lose the moral authority, us as men, then they no longer respect us. They no longer honor us. Because a lot of us like to talk the word of God, but many of us don't live up to the word of God. And therefore, they see us as being hypocrites. Those who say out their mouth was not really in their heart. So we have to really, as black men and men in general, we have to come back to being the moral authority if we want to start acquiring power. Because if we understand what the minister is teaching us, time dictates the agenda. This is a season or time for righteousness. And if you and I are in harmony with the time, it produces power. And the reason why the black man is so powerless in maintaining his wife, maintaining a woman in his life, maintaining his children, because we're following a lawbreaker. The white man by nature is a lawbreaker. God said, thou shalt not do. He said, it's all right. You can do it. But if we start following God and his anointed servant and live according to the law of God, then we grow up in his mind. And when we grow up in his mind, we will not have the problems that perplex us. Because what happens when we deviate from the law, we deviate from our nature. Because our nature is righteousness, and what that law does, it keeps us in the parameter of our nature. And whenever you want to test a man, test him against his nature. And all around us is an unrighteous world, and when we live unrighteous, then boy, we become unhappy. We become unsuccessful. And we can never manage a woman of God if we're not striving to be a man of God. So that's what I would say about being the moral authority, Sister Queen. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Yes, sir, Brother Stanley, thank you. And Sister Ruth. I think us sisters, us as women, we are the ones that really, really get caught in this trap more than anyone. So what about the moral authority of the sisters?
Yes, ma'am. And I want to start off with reading what the Bible, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 33 to 34. And it says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awaken to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. So when we have the knowledge of God, then you have to ask yourself, is it pleasing to Allah? What I'm doing, can I stand in front of Allah and do it? The language that I'm using, can I stand in front of God and use that language? You know, and if you, you know, feel like you will be ashamed, or you feel like you won't, you know, talk to God that way, or, you know, show yourself to God that way, then you know that that's not proper. Sometimes now we have to start looking at ourselves as the women of God. And what is pleasing to God? You have to ask yourself that question. And if it's not pleasing to God, then we should not be partaking of it.
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. Okay, so now I want to talk about social media a little bit, because I don't know if most people are aware. What you do in social media, there's no such thing as it being private, even in your inbox. So, you know, I know sometimes people have very intimate conversations, even if it's just expressions of I love you, or even if you're having a discussion about your relationship, really those things are not private. I work with the FBI, most people know that, and they can go into anybody's inbox and see anything that you say, whether you make a threat, whether you having a sexual conversation, whether you just saying assalamu alaikum, hello, what's up. They can see all of that. And the thing about it is that the content of what you put in social media is never secure. There is no such thing. The only thing that they try to secure you from is viruses and things like that. But your photos, your conversations, all of that is accessible. And all it does is take someone who can know how to research, and they have a place where you can just click on links, and there are tons and tons of links, and you can just click on it and get someone's photo and get someone's conversation. And so we have to be found doing the right thing. And another thing, as Muslims in particularly, you know, when I was talking about morality, Sister Ruth and Brother Stanley, you know, if we say we believe, and if we say we believe that Allah is all-knowing and all-powerful and all-seeing, then what do we think we're really getting away with? And how do we expect to be blessed when we break the law? And so I want to talk to you, Brother Stanley, about this thing that I keep hearing about the natural man. And Brother Stanley and I, we kind of tried to go over it where we would not get too graphic, but even being a natural man, I think it speaks more to ego, because men, some men, not all brothers, please don't inbox me, call me, talking about categorize anybody. Some brothers think that to deprive yourself sexually, you're being less than a man. And so they justify their activities by saying, I'm a natural man. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. Can you speak to that issue for me, Brother Stanley?
Yes, ma'am, I sure can. Well, first we have to really have a standard, Sister Queen, to guide brothers who have a false notion of what a man is, a natural man. And I say false notion because we have been born in sin, as the Bible says, and shaped in iniquity.
Come
we
on.
Have been made in the image in likeness of our former slave master. And so the most honorable Elijah Muhammad said the black man has to be totally re-educated. Not partially, but totally. And when he began the re-education process of the black man, he gave us 10 questions and answers called student enrollment.
Mm-hmm.
And the first question, Mr. Queen, was asked by Master Farad Muhammad to the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, who is the original man? Then he said, the original man is the Asiatic black man, the maker, the owner, the cream of the planet Earth, God of the universe. Now, this might sound strange to some people to say that you are the maker, the owner, the cream of the planet Earth, God of the universe. But if you look at the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 26 through 27, and it says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he, him, male and female, created he them. And God blessed them. Now, if God made a man to rule his creation that he created, that means man is born to be the vicegerent of God, or in Arabic called Khalifa, one who stands in the place of God. Now, that's the proper view, because the original man is the first man. He's born to be the maker. And whatever you make, you own. And then whatever you do, you're the cream of the planet Earth. The cream always rises to the top. The Asiatic black man, Asiatic means ever living. There's no death to whatever you do. Because whatever you do it in the name of Allah, and it will last forever. Anything you do in the name of God, it has no beginning nor ending. Because God don't have a beginning or ending. But the second question, Sister Queen, was asked, who is the colored man? And the answer is, the colored man is the Caucasian white man, or Yaku's grafted devil, the skunk of the planet Earth. Now, that's heavy. Now, here you got original man and colored man. When you say color, you're talking about something that you color, you change, you alter. And whenever you alter God's creation, you do not create a pleasant thing. You create something that's no longer original. Now it is devil. Whenever you grab something from original, that's what you call devil, because now you have polluted it and diluted it. Now we as men, our thinking of our women have been colored. Our view of ourselves have been colored. And so when you say that I am a natural man and you have not produced a natural world, what's a natural world? It's the world that you see that God has created for Adam. He told Adam to have dominion over the fowl of the sea, the fish. The fowl of the air, pardon me, the fish of the sea, and everything creeping upon the earth. We don't have dominion over nothing as black men. Most of us don't own a home. Most of us can't even call our dog, and our dog and our dog bark at us. Come here, Fido. Woo, woo. You know, what do we have dominion over? We're powerless. But yet and still, we say a natural man is a man that desires a woman. That's true. But you see right here, first God gave Adam dominion over the earth, and then he gave him a vision. And after Adam had a vision, that's when God made a woman, a helpmeet for him. But he created that woman from himself. From himself. So it's really important that we understand that a man cannot properly view a woman if he does not see as being a helpmeet not M-E-A-T, but M-E-E-T. Help him meet his duty to God, but he has to have a vision from God. But most of us, we have been colored or we've been altered in our view of ourselves, and therefore we have an altered view of the woman. So we see the woman as being a help meet, M-E-A-T, just an object of pleasure, and we call that a natural man. No, it's not. You have been altered on the plantation. When we were kidnapped from Africa, we were men of God. We wore the names of God. And when the white man purchased us from that auction block, we had names that represent attributes of God, Kareem and Akbar. Kareem meaning one who is gracious. Akbar meaning one who is great, does great things. But then once he purchased us, he gave us his name, Mr. Williams, Mr. Fox, Mr. Fish, Mr. Roundtree. Meaning that when I give you my name, nigga, I own you. And when I own you, I'm going to grow you into myself. So you are three-fifths of a human being. And I want you to produce more niggas. I want you to be my stud. So I don't care if it's your mother, Sister Queen. Go in her and make me some slaves. So that's where the term mother F comes from. I don't care if it's your sister. I don't care if it's your aunt. So for 310 years as a queen, all we've been doing is having sex on the plantation. Sex.
Come on.
Sex. But then you have sex, but white man took care of that child, took care of that woman. So therefore, there you got the welfare mentality. Therefore, you got a mentality. You produce children but don't take care of them. You produce have sex with a woman but don't have any affinity towards her because you still have a slave mentality. No, I don't. Well, what's your last name, Williams? Well, then, that tells me who owns you. And the slave does a will of the master. So I think that's where we get this natural man from, so-called terminology, not so-called, but the terminology natural man, which is not really natural, when we have sex and we don't have knowledge of what the purpose of sex is. Sex is designed for two reasons. I close with this. It's for procreation. That's the one purpose of sex. And sex is designed to give comfort to a man after he has worked. And the nature of a woman is to console his mind, is to rejuvenate him in a lawful relationship. That's the purpose of sex. And with sex comes sharing, caring, responsibility. That's what sex should produce, caring, sharing, responsibility, an intimacy. But what we see right now in our community is a slave practice when we talk about sex. There's no commitment. So that's what I would say, but a natural man would take that woman and marry her and make a commitment to her. And they both together, as I read, they both are in the image and likeness of God. They both are from God. And that woman is a part of that man. They're one. And when you abuse her, it's like abusing yourself. When you mistreat her, you're mistreating yourself. And so we have to understand when you lay down with a woman and you have that intimate conjugal relationship with her, first you must make a commitment because when you have sex, there is a bond that takes place. There is affinity that takes place, and when you don't live up to a commitment to that woman, now the contention comes between male and female, and women begin to hate men, and men begin to actually hate women because the woman now actually responds out of spite and resentment towards him. And he acts as though that he did nothing wrong because he still has a slave mentality, and he still functions based upon the rule that the slave master embedded in him for over 310 years.
Wow. Yes, sir. Absolutely, Brother Stanley. All praises due to Allah. All right, Sister Ruth, I got one for you. Okay, so been in courtship for a little while. We've been talking back and forth, and I'm in courtship. But my mindset is I've been talking to this brother for 3 months or 2 months, and as far as I'm concerned, this is my man. Even though we're in courtship, you know, he put the papers in, he asked for me, I agreed, we're talking, we're, excuse me, having a long distance courtship, so I don't get to go on outings with him. So we're often in the chat room, on the phone, texting, and one day he says, you know, send me a picture, a full body shot. I want to see my package or something like that. So what does the sister do?
Yes, ma'am. And, you know, like I said before.
Sister Rose?
Ma'am, I was saying, you know, the thing about it is you have to question yourself. And you know, sometimes we have to make it plain. And we're, you know, I'm saying for those who, you know, believe in a higher being, you know, those who believe in Allah, those who believe in God, you know, and knowing what's right in the eyes of God, and knowing that, you know, when you know what God's will is, or when you know what God, you know, is pleased with and what he's not pleased with, then you make the best judgment. So if you know that, you know, God doesn't want us, you know, showing our bodies to men that have not committed to us, a man that has not committed to us, then you know that that would be an improper thing to do, you know, to display your form or your body to someone that has not made a commitment to you, you know. And it's the same thing if, you know, if you, I mean, you know, sometimes we just have an instinct, you know, even if you don't know what God's will is, you know that why do we show men our bodies. We show men our bodies to entice men. So if you know you're going to show, if you know you're going to show, you know, your body to a man, you know it's going to entice the man. So do you want to entice a man that's not your husband? Do you want him to see you in a light where, you know, he's looking at you in a physical way, and then he going to start treating you in that manner. So now, do you want a man to see you in that light, to see you, you know, for your physical body, to treat you, you know, in a manner that a lot of these women out here who show their bodies, you know, how they're treated, they're disrespected, you know? Just look around us. We see sisters every day wearing, you know, tight clothes and all, you know, all, I mean, the clothes is so revealing nowadays. And what men do? They disrespectful, you know, they call them out of their name. You know, it's a lot of rape going on, whether it's date rape, you know, you go out with the guy and, you know, you're revealing to him, and next thing you know, because you don't want to give it up, he takes it. You know, so it's like we're producing a nation that has no respect for the woman, and it's because of, you know, how we reveal ourselves to them. You know, and that tells us that that is not the natural way of things for us to reveal ourselves to just any man. You know, that is preserved for our husbands. And it's in the Bible, in the scriptures, you know, where God tells us to cover ourselves. You know, and that is only for your husband to see. And it talks about covering your hair, the Bible. You know, so I think that when you get a man in that way, then that's where the relationship ends. Because if someone out there going to be finer than you, someone out there breast going to be bigger, her behind going to be bigger, or whatever you think is better on you, somebody out there got it better. So when you catch him in that manner, guess what? He going to move on to the next one that has it better. So how do you want to capture him? Do you want to catch him through your behind, or do you want to catch him through your mind? See, because no one has a mind like you. You are unique in that mind. And when you catch a man by the way you think, you know, by your inspiration, there's no one else that can take him from you, you know. And in the process of courtship, we don't belong to each other, you know. It is not until you begin the process of marriage, and we in the Nation of Islam, we're taught to, yes, go get those papers, you know, go to the courthouse and, you know, get it, you know. Sometimes we have to bring the judge in, you know, because we don't want to do right. So sometimes, you know, sometimes men make us do what we should be doing in the first place. So in the Nation of Islam, we do go and get, you know, marriage certificate, marriage license, all that. Then you begin your journey, you know, to become one. Not even when you say I do, you are one. But it's in that journey, in that process, where you, the more you overcome things together, the more trials you overcome together, then the closer you become, and the, you know, then you become one. So I would say, sister, is that, you know, we have to really, as women, think about what we're doing. You know, we know, you know, even when I was in the world, I didn't, you know, I mean, I had God, but it was God, but it was not God. You know what I'm saying? It's like it's a ritual. You say you believe in God. You know why you say that? It's because your parents told you to believe in God. It was like a, you know, okay, whatever they say do, then you act like you do. But it was never in your heart, you know. So whatever they tell you, then you did it because that's what they taught you, even though it's not in your heart. So I could say that, you know, even in the world, you know, some of the things that I did, I knew better. You know what I'm saying? Even if I was not conscious of everything the Bible says, just in my nature, it just told me that, you know, that the attraction was going to be wrong, you know. So I think that as women, we know when we attract men to our bodies, you know, we know what we're doing. So when we do that and then we get the results that we do, you know, we get pregnant, then mm-hmm. there's no father in the home because, you know, you show them the goodies, and then he got it. Next thing you know, there's a baby involved, and now he don't want no more, you know, he don't want no part of it, you know, because like my husband says, a natural man is the way that Allah created man, and the way that Allah created man is to be the ruler, to be the maintainer, the provider, to be just a god, you know, over the house. And nowadays, you know, the men is lost, you know, and that's why, you know, when he talked about slavery, in slavery, what did the white man call the black man? Boy. He said boy. So mm-hmm. he instilled that mentality in men. So now black men, they don't see themselves as men. They see themselves as boys. So he said, what you doing? So I'm going to the crib. See, it's all this baby language. You know, what you going to the crib? I'm going to go play games. You know, who you going to play with? I'm going to play with Susie. See, it's all children's games that we're playing nowadays. That's not a ruler that's talking. That's a ruler that was put to sleep and was made into a boy. So now we have a supreme wisdom say no one will be successful speaking baby language. So we got to come out of that, the speaking the language and thinking that way. So now we got to rise up. We're not children anymore. God has came himself to get us from the state of being a child into the state of being a God. You know, so now is a decision. We're in the valley of decision. What are we going to do? Do we want to stay a child? Do you want to get, you know, caught up in time and be and stay a child for the rest of your life? I mean, you got grown people that have mental, you know, issues that are 3 years old and are really 30 years in age, but act like three-year-olds, you know, and that's how we are. We've been on the earth for years, but we're still acting like children, you know, but God came to get us away from that and make us God. And that's why you have, like my husband said, the student enrollment. He gave us, you know, the student enrollment. That is the rules. When you coming into the classroom of God, you're not saying who is the original boy or the original girl or who are the children of the world. He's saying, who is the original man? And the answer is the original man is the Asiatic black man, the maker, what? The owner, the cream of the planet Earth, God of the universe, not someone that, you know, is shacking or living under someone's household. No, that's a boy. A maker is someone that put some work to build something, you know, so. That's what, you know, what comes to my mind, Sister Queen, is that, you know, as women, if we want a peace of mind, if we want, you know, a beautiful life, we have to get in line with God. And if we don't get in line with him, we're going to keep suffering what we're suffering. We're going to keep being destroyed. We're going to keep being let down by boys, not men, but boys, you know? So you want to play with a boy? Guess what? You're going to get hurt because boys don't know how to, you know, be nice. You
ready? Yes, ma'am.
Being in boys alone.
And I think this, you know, and I don't want to say this in a negative way, and I certainly don't want the MGT to get mad at me, but, you know, this is what I've heard, and unfortunately, in some instances, this is what I've seen, that there is a struggle in obedience. And that is the sacrifice that you make. You deny yourself in your obedience to Allah. That is what we as Muslims do. And then after such a long period of time, you know, there's a desperation almost that has taken place in not only the brothers but the sisters. And I've had sisters ask me, you know, how do we compete? I got a sister in the inbox right now who just asked me, her name is Sister C.M. She says, how can we compete with the lost found women in a righteous way? And it's almost like we're trying to take control over something that we really don't have control over. Almost kind of like in a mothering type of sense, to whereas, well, if the brother is going to go out there and do this anyway, I need to go ahead and do it so that I can get him or have him
or whatever, but at the same time, we don't want to be looked at in the same category or in the or as having the same mindset as a lost found sister. So I'm going to ask you, Sister Ruth, and I'm coming to you, Brother Stanley. First of all, I don't believe that there's competition with the lost found, but for the sisters who think that way, who think that they have to participate in some form of sexual activity, whether it's a conversation, whether it's pictures, whatever. I've heard people say they have phone sex, whatever that is. You know, and then we get emotionally involved in the courtship. And that is the leading cause of the problem right there. It's because we forget that we're in courtship. We forget that courtship may take a little while. And we get so comfortable in that relationship that we forget it's courtship, and really they're treating one another like their boyfriend and girlfriend. So I know we talked last week about rising above emotion and understanding that courtship is observation and examination to make a determination of whether this person is right for you. But women more so than men, and that's just a given fact, oftentimes get emotionally involved, and they feel compelled to do whatever it takes to please him. So is that a good time, Sister Ruth, to end the courtship if a brother gets out of line, or should she try to redirect him and just still try to hang in the courtship?
Yes, ma'am. You know, if the brother is, you know, out of line, it's definitely signs. Allah is showing you that brother, you know, God is not in him. And I want to read something that the minister put in restrictive law, in our book, The Restrictive Law, the one he gave to, you know, even lost sons can get it. But it says, Jesus said, if any man would be my disciple, he must first deny himself. Deny himself or, you know, deny herself. And then he says, thinking more of ourselves than we should will now allow us to walk this path well. So denying yourself is a very difficult proposition because most of us come into the nation starved, ego-wise, starved for love. See, we starved for love, starved for validation. But he says that the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad are so perfect for a people in our condition. So now the question is, Jesus asked, no, he said that the can we endure? And he said that the race is not to the swift, nor to the strong, but those who can endure to the end. And that's in Matthew 13. So as a woman of God, is that you have to deny those worldly things. And when you become the woman of God, ain't no woman that is caught by Satan is your equal. No woman that was caught by Satan has no, you know, she's not more beautiful than the woman of God. See, it is our understanding, our limited understanding, that makes us think that Satan's world is better than God's world. But see, when you're the woman of God, you ain't got no equal. Physically, spiritually, mentally, morally. See, when you're the woman of God, you are the queen. You're the queen of the planet Earth. You're the one that sits next to him on the throne. The woman of the world cannot sit on that throne. Not until they clean themselves up and become the woman of God. So you don't have no equal when it comes to, you know, you are comparing yourself to the women of the world. We don't have no equal. We are the best. God said, and he came, and he said that we are the best nation. He means the righteous woman. He can sit on top of the world and say we are the best nation on the whole planet. So if you're that woman,
yes,
now if you don't see yourself as that, then that's another, you know, then you have to look within yourself and you have to say, why do I not see myself as a woman of God? Why do I not see me, myself, on top of the world? What am I doing to hold myself down? See, it's no longer that you comparing the woman of God to the woman of Satan. Now you seeing yourself as equal to the woman of the world. So if you see yourself in that manner, you got to question yourself, what are you doing or what are you not doing to elevate yourself? You know, elevate yourself spiritually, elevate yourself morally. We have been given, oh my God, what we've been given, Sister Queen, by Allah, who came in the person of Master Farah Muhammad. What we've been given by him through the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the exalted Christ, and now the minister. We've been given the best teachings on the planet to make us that woman, the woman of God that, you know, that when men see us, they question, who is that woman? You know, what do I have to do to get one of those women? See, when you become that woman, then that man wants to get himself right with God because he want to benefit from that fruit. He want to benefit from the best. When he see the best, then he got to step it up. He can't play no more games. He can't be no boy. He got to grow up and become a man so that he can take charge of the kingdom. See, you can't ruin no woman of God being a boy. So that sister, what I would say to her is that she has to look within herself and see what is she lacking that she compares herself to the women of the world. I know I don't compare myself to the women of the world. When I look at my sisters, you know, and they showing their bodies and, you know, all that, I feel sorry for them. You know, and I want to talk a word, and I want to let them know that they don't have to, you know, show their form. You know, I want to let them know that God came to love them.
Yes, ma'am.
And to validate
yes,
them.
Yes, ma'am.
And to put them on top of the world. You know, so I don't say, I need to look like her. No, I don't want no fake nails, Sister Queen, and my husband would tell you. You don't want to see no fake nails on me. If I don't have long nails, guess what? My nails going to be pretty short.
That's right, baby.
Okay,
right.
I don't need red lipstick. You know, I don't need no fake boobs. You know, people going to these plastic surgeons and getting everything fake. I don't need that. Because what I have in my mind, what Allah has given me, you know, it's more powerful than anything else. You know, and my husband would tell you when we go out and I have on my garment, he stands back and he says he watches how people look at me, you know. So that is telling you that we are so attractive to our people in the world. But see, if we're not attracted to it, Sister Queen, guess what? We're gonna give that spirit off to our lost found. If we're not proud on who we are, and if I'm not proud about how to eat to live, what the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad came to give me, then I'm going to reflect that. So I'm going to eat three meals a day. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to eat fried chicken. I'm going to eat potatoes. And then I wonder why I'm not attracted. I'm not attracted because I'm not following the way of God. You understand? So when we don't follow the way of Allah, then we do compare ourselves. They might look better than us. You know,
okay.
But when we follow the way of God, there's no comparison.
Yes, ma'am. And I want to tell the listening audience, okay, I'm going to ask Brother Stanley a question, and if you have questions, this is the time now to press 1 on your dial pad. I already got questions in the chat room. So all of you callers, if you have questions about courtship procedures, if you want to anonymously share an experience or something you have a question about, please, this is that opportunity. If you got a comment or some advice for the sisters or the brothers, this is the time, so press 1 on your dial pad. All right, Brother Stanley, I have one for you. So here we are, the brothers in courtship, been in courtship 2-3 months, and, you know, he's out of town, and he's a good-looking brother. He know how to hang that FOI uniform. He look good, and the sister feels insecure. So in order to keep him interested, you know, she sends him a photo of her in some lingerie or something of that nature. What is the brother to do? Is he to end the courtship or to redirect the sister?
Well, That's a question that it depends on that brother. Because I believe, Sister Queen, everyone is born for somebody. And when you love somebody,
mm-hmm.
you love them out of their sickness. See, insecurity is a sickness. It's something unnatural that this world has produced in that sister. And that brother who looks good, as you said, and knows how to hang that FOI suit, well, everything glitter ain't gold.
Come on.
He's a wounded soul. She's a wounded soul. Because before he can judge her, he has to first look at himself. Because ain't no woman going to show herself to him, not unless he actually present himself as though he would accept that. I don't think most women would actually just reveal themselves, not unless there was some kind of hint, some kind of suggestion that brother gave, like, that's kind of acceptable. Now, if she does do that, and that's a very rare case if the man presents himself right and proper, not just hanging his suit right and looking good on the outside, but his moral character.
Mm-hmm.
Integrity will create an atmosphere around that sister that will make her feel uncomfortable, like a woman would feel if she just walk out the street with no clothes on and walk down the street.
Right.
You rarely gonna see that. She would feel uncomfortable.
Right.
Because if he's a good man, he will make her feel uncomfortable. I've been around sisters and they would have mini skirts on, lost found sisters. And they would have their peekaboo showing when I'm talking to them. And they would,
Wait a minute. If they have their what showing? Their peekaboo? What is that?
Peekaboo, that their cleavage in their breast is showing. That's what they call peekaboo.
Oh, okay. I didn't know. I never heard of it. Okay. Okay.
So they would cover that part of their cleavage, of their breast. They would cover it.
Mm-hmm.
And they
pull their miniskirt down because they feel ashamed when they're in a man of God or a man who's striving to live upright.
Yes, sir.
People
yes, sir.
Know, as we come from the earth, Sister Queen, we carry our own atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
If you're trying to, you will create an atmosphere of righteousness that would bring out the righteous nature in people. Brothers will bring out that righteous nature in a woman. So if she sends that picture, then he should feel sorry for her. And if he's really born to help her, he would talk to her and say, "My sister, you don't have to show me the beauty of your breasts and your thighs. All I want to see is the beauty of your mind. What interests me in you was not your physical, but was your duty to God. I saw you in the mosque serving Allah when you didn't know I was watching you. You was cooking bean soup for the homeless."
Go ahead, baby. Go ahead.
Word to the sister who actually felt like she actually had no hope at all, and she felt suicidal. I saw you talking to her in the lobby. And when you was talking to her, her head was hanging down, but after 8 minutes and 20 seconds, her head was up and she was laughing and smiling. And I said, that's the kind of woman I want to be with.
Go ahead, Brother Stanley.
Go ahead, baby. Go ahead. Take
You talk life into her to show her that her belief is an indescribable beauty that no woman of the world can actually get in some beauty salon. But your 5 daily prayers turn into a beauty that no woman of the world can have. Your fasting turns into a beauty that no woman can get from Satan's world. It's the best makeup. It's the best eyeliner. It's the best lipstick. It's the best hairdo. I fell in love with your belief, not your breast. I love the way you are. And when that man speaks to that woman like that, at the simultaneous, she's going to feel ashamed and she's going to feel good about herself.
Mm-hmm.
She regret that she ever did that, but at the same time, she's going to thank Allah that she did that, so she will know that the real beauty of her is not the physical, but it is the mind of God in her. Women spend too much time building the outside, Sister Queen, but not the inside. I'm going to tell you about me and all you sisters out there. And Sister Queen, you too.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to tell you all something. I know men very well, very, very, very well. And I'm going to tell you, I don't care how fine you think you are, that will attract him. But God damn it, that won't keep him. And that's your problem. Spend too much time attracting, but you don't know how to keep him. And the way you keep him, you have to now go into the mind of God and allow God to enter your heart, so when he sees you, he says, "Damn, I see God. There's something about that woman. I just don't know what it is, but it is a beautiful feeling. I love talking to her. I love being around her. It's an energy that I don't get nowhere. It's a mystery as God is."
Mm-hmm.
And as God is always bringing something new in the universe. He said, behold, I make all things new. When God is in you, you never, never bore that man. Because everything, he discovers something new about you that keeps his excitement. But some damn, you know, sex move, some kind of, you know, gyration that you do, that's not new. That man's seen that all his life in a strip club. You ain't doing nothing new. You think that's new?
Huh.
For the next woman, the same damn thing. But that sister next door don't have the mind of God. That's a hard thing to do in Satan's world. But when you strive to build God up in your heart and your mind, well, you're going to attract the man of God.
Come on.
And when you attract the man of God, he'll never get bored with a woman of God. And I think that's the problem with most women, like my wife read, they're seeking validation from a man instead of validation from God. And when you, and the Holy Quran says, I'm going to just end like this. And see, you know, let me say this to the men real quick. You're not no real man. Because you go in the gym and you get buff, that's not no real man. That's not no real man because you actually have alligator shoes and nice suits and diamond rings and you attract a woman with that. But you can't keep them that way. Same with a man. A man thinks he can attract a woman with buying her things and keeping himself physically up to par, which we should. A relation, attraction starts physical, but it should grow spiritual. Because if you look good on the outside, but you don't have moral character, that woman, when she first met you, that was smiling at you that first day, a few days after she met you, she'll be frowning. Because you're no damn good.
Come on.
And she will punish you. She will punish you.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing about a woman, when you wrong her, she will punish you.
Yeah.
And that's why men are being punished. I know this brother. He got locked up. And he owed thousands of dollars in child support. And he couldn't get out until he paid it. Guess, you know he paid it? Why'd they have to take that? Why'd they have to take a white judge to tell you do something you're supposed to be doing naturally as a man? Even a dog would take care of its puppies.
Mm.
But that woman punished you and sent you to that white man on child support. And now a lot of brothers scream about child support. I'm not saying all women use it properly, but when you wrong a woman, you bring out the anger of God in her. And she is from God, and she has power to bring God's judgment down on you. And it can be rightfully so on a lot of brothers. They're suffering because they actually want to play with the mind of a woman, but I just want to have sex with her and have pleasure, but no responsibility. That's a slave mentality. You're the white man's nigger when you do that. You're not God's man. You're a white man's nigger. And ain't no real man that actually will let his wife work and he don't actually treat her like a queen and go out there and labor and toil for her and to bring her the best that this world has to offer, because a woman that will give you life and go through the pain of death, you can never repay her back. But you going to send a woman out like after she get finished having a baby? Go back to work, honey. That's the same way that cracker did on the plantation. After that woman gave birth to that baby in the cotton fields, he said, now get back up, wench, and go back to work. You're the same damn cracker, but in a black body. That's why you wear his name. See, you're not a real man. Until you meet a man, and the only man that you can ever meet in our world right now is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. You should run to him because he'll make a man out of you because he made a man out of me. Well, he's making a man out of me.
That's right,
many
baby.
Others,
yes, sir.
And many others. So I say that this, the brother, should he call off the courtship, depends on what kind of man he is.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, there's a saying, says the queen, he looked past my faults.
And saw my
needs. Mm-hmm. Can you forgive? Can you forgive her? And the tears should drop from your eyes and say, you're beautiful as a believer. And the more you forgive, the more you can redeem. And I think that forgiveness, if that brother forgives that sister and tells her what he really fell in love with, which is her belief and her beautiful smile and the light of her eyes coming from the wisdom of God. I love to see you in that 19, sister. Oh, you look so beautiful in that 19. Now she start feeling good covering. That's a man of God. Make her feel secure in righteousness. Because no nation
That's
can
right.
rise no higher than his woman. If you're really trying to build a nation, well, elevate the woman by giving her words of encouragement and inspiration. Now you're showing you're a real man of God if you elevate the woman of God. You ain't no man of God. You degrade her. You mistreat her. Like my wife said, a man is a protector and a provider. What are you protecting? Protect her love for God. Don't let us squander that love. That's
yes,
a real man. So anyway,
yes,
I can talk, but I wanted to say this last scripture real quick, or this only scripture. It says in
okay, because we got people with questions, and let me remind them right quick before you go to that scripture. Okay, if you got your questions ready, those of you who are on the phone, press 1 on your dial pad because we want you to ask your questions now. I can't ask everybody's questions, so you share your scenarios, your concerns. Okay, Brother Stanley, go ahead.
In reference to that question, should he leave her? Surah 26, verse 80, it says, when I am sick, he, Allah, heals me. He don't judge me, he heals me. And when you see the sickness of that woman, you should heal her, not judge her. And you heal her with God's word and God's inspiration. Thank you, Sister Queen, for allowing me to share.
Yes, sir. Okay. Pardon me, I didn't want to sneeze on the air. Okay, we're going to take one from the phone, then one from the chat room. So we have someone else calling from Atlanta, College Park area. Last four numbers, 4458. Your mic is now live.
Assalamualaikum, Queen, Brother Stanley.
Assalamualaikum, salam, sir.
This is Brother Joshua. I just wanted to share something to bag Brother Stanley and Sister Ruth up from the book of Peter, 2 Peter. It says, for that righteous man dwelleth among them, and seeing and hearing vex his righteousness soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. When I read that, it took me back to Zechariah in his relationship with Mary. Zechariah always maintained a disciplined, respectful relationship with Mary, put in charge of her. Mary did the same. So I'm just saying, and look what we've been told by Brother Stanley and his wife, Sister Ruth, that we should study the life of Zechariah, study the life of Mary, regardless to what fold we are part of, because these two individuals had to really know God to maintain such discipline, knowing that Mary desired Joseph and knowing that Zechariah was there to protect Mary until that desire was met. And I just thought that was very interesting how it talks about in the book of Peter how a godly man, he exercises godliness day in and day out. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, Brother Joshua.
Wa alaikum salam, Brother Joshua. Thank you for sharing that beautiful scripture with us. Okay, we got somebody calling from Philadelphia. Your mic is now live.
Assalamu alaikum.
267.
This is Brother Hassan McKinney, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I want to thank Allah for you, Sister Queen, and your panel. And
thank you.
All praise due to Allah for this conversation. Alhamdulillah. One of the things that was mentioned that was shocking to me, because I'm not a registered member of the nation, and I'd like for you to address it or the panel, and that is, the sister mentioned that you go to the white man's court, not necessarily the white man's court, but you get a marriage license before you're married if you're a registered member of the nation. And basically the reason why it's shocking to me is because I just assumed without knowledge that there was some department within the Nation of Islam that had a different process. Can you address that for me, please?
Well, yeah, I could, but I'm going to yield to Brother Stanley on that. Brother Stanley, you want to answer Brother Hassan's question?
More than happy to. Brother Hassan, thank you for your question. Assalamu alaikum, my dear brother.
Alaikum salam, sir.
Well, as you know, Islam was brought to us by the most honorable Elijah Muhammad in a state that we have been put in by slavery.
Yes, sir.
We were completely robbed of the knowledge of ourselves, the knowledge of God, and the knowledge of our heavenly home. So the most honorable Elijah Muhammad brought us a Islam that would restore the so-called American Negro. And he knows best the methodology to restore us. And this is who we follow. We follow his pristine teachings that is rooted in the Sunnah and the Hadith of the Prophet, but above that, may peace be upon him, but above that, rooted in the Holy Quran. And he wrote a letter, there's a book called Dear Holy Apostle by Sister Betty Muhammad. These are letters of guidance from the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and on page 44, it deals with marriage, wedding, reception. And he said that, Dear Sister Captain, your letter dated May 25th, 1968, which you asked a Muslim sister permitted to go get married in their white pertusel robe is in hand. She can get married in a gingham dress if you have nothing but that. We get married in whatever we have or whatever we are able to buy. You may have a dinner at the mosque after the meeting if your husband is able, sister. The husband is supposed to furnish anything such as dinners and recreations and parties after marriage. I am stopping the Muslims from doing this for married people. It makes them look for you for such, and in a few days they are breaking up. The best way is to go ahead and marry and go home. This is the way Allah taught me for our people. Just get the license and get married and go on home. That's what the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us, my brother.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
And you also have to also realize that, I don't know if many of you know it or not, but it was very prevalent right after 1975 when the messenger departed, you know, for the sake of clarity and legality, if something happened to a brother or a sister, you know, and if there's properties or monies involved, then, you know, if you didn't have any legal document on file in a courthouse record or in a county record back in those days, then you may not be privy to any benefits, insurances, properties that were owned, even if your husband owned them solely in his name, that was the affidavit that proved heirship for most people, not just Muslims in particularly, but that was a protective process for the black Muslims who own properties, who were risking their lives every day to stand post for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And so it was for that purpose, too, from what I understand. I remember my father and them talking about it when I was ear hustling, when he was talking about it to my brother. So it is very, very beneficial to have that document on record, dear brother. And I pray we answered your question.
Thank you so much, Mr. Queen. Salam.
Wa alaikum salam. Okay, we're going to go to the chat room. We got some new callers coming. Well, no, I don't think they're new. My ticker's turning over. If you have questions about courtship process, scenarios, things that have happened to you, if you want to be anonymous, just say so. But please press one of your dial pad and ask myself, Brother Stanley, or Sister Ruth. Okay, Jessica, who says she's not in the Nation of Islam. I'm going to give this one to you, Sister Ruth, since she's a sister. She says, my fiancé is in New York, and I am in Arkansas. If I don't give him something to hope for, he will surely go somewhere else. He is faithful to me and I to him. What is the issue with that? Okay. Sister Ruth?
Well, I think she said it in the question, you know. And, I mean, if he'll go to someone else, that means that he never, you know, was really all with you, you know. If I have to worry about, she said they're engaged.
She said that that's her fiancé, so yes, ma'am.
Okay, so, and she's saying that she has to, and the thing about it, she's not in the nation. And then I have to ask her, is she a Christian or is she Jewish or does she have any, you know, religious background, you know? And what I would say that, you know, in the Bible and, you know, the different scriptures of God, you know, God always talks about, you know, marriage before, you know, laying down, you know, with the opposite sex. So, you know, I would say to her is that, and just nature, you know, if he would leave her, if she doesn't give, you know, is with him, I guess physically, that's what I'm thinking. If he would leave her, then that means that she really doesn't have him. Because when you can have a man have his mind, he will never leave you.
But if you have to give him your body to keep him, you know, then he's going to go to somebody else that gives him the body. You know, so, I mean, she has to decide if she wants to keep a man based upon her body or keep a man based upon infinity, which is her mind. Her mind is infinite. It has no ending. So if she got into a car accident and something happened to her body, you know, that means he will leave her because her body is, you know, I mean, things like this is that, you know, you don't even have to say you're a Muslim. You don't have to say you believe in God. But nature has a way of teaching us things. See, the Creator already put things in place. He already put things in place to teach us lessons. And if we don't learn from those lessons that nature has given us, then we are bound to repeat. You know, we're bound to bring consequences into our life. You know, so then I have to say to her, study your surroundings. Don't even look at religion. Look around you. Look at all these beautiful women who give themselves to men physically every day. You know, and they get pregnant. And guess what? They don't have no man to take care of them or their children. They have all these different baby daddies. They're beautiful women. They have beautiful bodies. But the body is not keeping them. You know, so study around you. Study your surroundings. Look and see what's going on around you. And that has, you know, we have to be studious today. We have to look at life and see what's going on around us. We cannot act like it cannot happen to us. You know, I remember AIDS first came out. I'm telling you, Sister Queen, I never thought that AIDS would hit home. I thought it was a foreign disease. You know, I thought it was so far away, it could never hit this close. I mean, in my mind, it was not even real. You understand? I was not a Muslim. I was, you know, I just lived life. And when my sister, young sister, beautiful sister, at age, in her early 20s, Sister Queen, she was diagnosed with AIDS. You understand? I mean, it hit that close. I was so shocked. I could not believe now that was real until it hit home. And when I seen how it killed her slowly and surely, but it was a slow and quick death because she died at 26. So she did not have a long life. So you have to say to yourself, you have to see your surroundings. You have to study what's around you and say, do I want to be like those sisters who given themselves to these men that are not committed to you? You know, if that man has not married you, you shouldn't be giving him what he does not deserve. See, you are a valuable prize, but when you don't see yourself as that, then you allow him to play with something that he hasn't bought. And when I say bought, I'm not talking about, you know, financially, materialistic. I'm saying spiritually. See, because in the scriptures of God, it says man is the head. First, it starts with God. God is the head of Christ. Christ is the head of man, and man is the head of woman. So when man has God at his head, guess what? He will do right by you. He will marry you before he tampers with you. You know, so I think that you have to see your value, sister, so that you would not allow him, you know, to have you before it's time. It's like you eating a cake and it's not even done yet. You know, you're going to get a stomach ache. But, you know, just look at life. And that's why we're so hurt as women, as, you know, black women, is because we're doing it our way, you know,
and not God's way. And that's why we keep going wrong. And we're going to keep going wrong, and we're going to keep suffering until we do it God's way. And I know because I'm living it, okay? I'm living it. I know I play hard to get with my husband, and he will tell you. I didn't think about him going with nobody else because I had his mind.
And you still got his mind.
So when you know how to do it, you know you do it, and it's only the only
That's
way is God's sense. Way.
Hey, you know, I just want to tell all my sisters, not just her. I just want to say to all my sisters, you know, how can I put it? Whether you Christian, Muslim, Buddhist, whatever, you know, you can't love a man until you first love yourself and love God.
Right.
And when you are so, for the lack of a better expression, desperate, or when a man gives you the impression even that if you don't give it up, somebody else will, let somebody else have him.
Yeah, let somebody else be the fool.
Because he's not worthy of you. If he is not willing to invest and commit to you, my dear sisters, I'm telling you as a witness, not just talking righteous, I'm telling you as a witness, let it go. Yes. Let it go. Been there, done that. You don't have to go through that, Queen, and I already been through that for you. It's not worth it.
That's
it is
right.
not worth the heartache. It's not worth the degrading of you. And how dare you just call yourself a woman when you let a man mistreat you and you are the second self of God, whether you're Muslim or not, whether you know it or not, I'm here to tell you. You are the producer of life, and you need to be very careful about what you allow into your womb. And you need to be very careful about who you share your DNA with, because you become a part of that person, whether you know it or not. And so you have to cleanse your spirit and cleanse your mind. And when we as Muslims say that Allah is sufficient for us, we have to stop just saying that. We have to really know what that means.
That's right.
So through
That's
all
right.
of our sacrifice, through all of our prayers, through all of our loneliness, through all of our hurt and our pain, when we say Allah is sufficient for us, we have to prove ourselves worthy of the blessings of Allah. We always getting on our prayer rugs and praying, Allah, I want a husband, Allah, I want this, Allah, I want that. But then do we stop and question, are we worthy? And why hasn't Allah blessed me? Because we have these fantasies in our minds, but have we proven ourselves to be worthy? So I just wanted to say that. Okay, Vince has a comment. Vince, because I didn't see him asking a question, so I guess you all can comment on this. He says, I am tired of seeing sisters with their heads uncovered and partially dressed, and they say that they are Muslims. Muslims, stop asking why the brothers don't get married. Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Brother Stanley, you going to co-sign with Brother Vince on that? What you going to do? I don't know what to say.
I'm going to co-sign with God. How about that?
That's right.
I like to co-sign with God. Well, you know, the thing is that if the brother's worried about the sister not covering her head and the sister not dressed properly, well, Jesus says, oh, you hypocrite, you can't take the beam out your brother's eye until you learn how to clearly take the mote out your own eye.
Mm-hmm.
To accept perfection from our sisters, we as brothers have to first accept perfection from ourselves. Do you
Come
sin?
On.
Are you a perfect, law-abiding brother, and you cross every T and dot every I? Do you fall short of the standard of a Muslim? If you say no, why do we say 32 times a day in the Al-Fatiha, O Allah, guide us on the straight path? Well, wait a minute. Well, why are you asking God to guide you on the straight path if you're already on it?
Come on.
That means not on the path. And then you're saying that's the reason why brothers don't get married? No, the reason why brothers don't get married is because they don't want to live according to the law of God. I'm talking about the ones who are qualified to get married. And the ones who are not qualified to get married, they shouldn't get married. They should be in the process of preparing themselves for marriage. So everyone is not married for different reasons. But I'm just taking the context of those who are qualified to get married. That should not be a justification, because there's good sisters in the mosque that do cover their hair and do cover their body. So no, that should not be an scapegoat. I don't agree with that. I agree that the sisters who are falling short in that area should be encouraged in a loving way, in a sisterly way. The value of covering yourself, as the Holy Quran says, a woman should cover so she'll be known and not be given trouble. You should be saying it out. None of it sounds bitter to me, the way the brother was saying it. You sound bitter. And there's no bitterness, love. And the book of John says God is love. Do you love yourself? And the way you measure how much you love yourself is by how you treat the second self of God, God's woman, because she was given to us out of God's love. And the Holy Quran says, would you hate that which God had placed a bundle of good in? See? So I don't agree with that, Sister Queen, at all. I do agree that with brother that she should cover. And the minister did address that sisters are not dressing appropriately. There's some sisters on Sunday, they're wearing their garment, but on Monday through Saturday, they're wearing clothes of the world. That is not becoming of a Muslim. I agree with that. But that's not all MGT. You got some good MGT striving and wearing their garment to the best of their ability. But you, it's not fair to make it like the whole class is doing that. All the MGT is not dressing properly. And use that as a justification for a brother not to marry and be a whore in the street or be a homosexual in the street. Because if you're not married and you're qualified for out there, you know, fornicating, or you're a faggot or homosexual. Let me say a little bit more gentle to you, because you might be sensitive.
Oh,
I don't like you attacking the woman of God, a sister striving, as though that we're perfect. I'm not even, the only one who can actually talk on that subject is Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, because he speaks out of love, not out of bitterness and animosity. No, this airways is not to actually dump on the sisters as though they're not qualified as a whole. Because we are not qualified, because the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said like this, there's no such thing as a no good woman. This is what he said. Argue with him.
That's right.
And get the hellfire. Argue with the messenger and get the hellfire. There's no such thing as a no good woman. Every woman you call no good was made no good by a no good man. So she can always say, I'm not the potter, I'm the clay. Because the nature of a woman is to equal herself up to a man. So if she's nothing, all she is a mirror of us. She reflects us. She like the moon, we the sun. And then she got borrowed life. She had borrowed characteristics.
Mm.
So the minister said there wouldn't even be a lesbian, and not unless there's a homosexual. It's homosexuality that produced lesbianism. So you see a woman lesbian, oh, that woman's a lesbian. Well, you can trace that behavior down to a man who taught her that way, who was a homosexual. That's what the minister said.
Wow.
So I don't, and he even said this about the nature of a woman. I wanted to share this with you, Brother Vince. I love you. And I don't want you to be punished by God, because remember, that is his classroom that he set up, God himself. And don't judge his classroom. Mm-hmm. Because you judge his classroom and the woman he's in the process of making new, then you got to remember that in order for God to perfect that woman, he must first manifest its defects. Imperfection is the prelude to perfection.
Come on.
So you won't see the imperfections, but know that that's the prelude to perfection. If you see people with acne, acne is the prelude to beauty, because acne is purifying the system of the poison. And you might say, oh, look at that ugly man with all that acne, the ugly woman. But that is a purification process. That imperfection on that skin will lead to a beautiful skin and a beautiful body inside and out. It's a part of the process.
Right.
Don't judge.
Mm-hmm.
Be an example of a good, righteous man. And that woman would want to equal herself up to you and want to be a good, righteous woman. So that's how I would answer that. Don't judge the classroom of God. That's his classroom. Not unless you get punished by God. As-salamu alaykum.
Yes, sir. Wa alaykum salam. Okay, we're going to get let Brother Stan to get him some water. Because he was on fire. Okay. Now, oh, no, Brother Stan, I'm sorry. You have to answer this one. This brother, he wants to remain anonymous, so I'm going to leave him as he is. He wants to know, really, and this is his question or comment, quote, really, what do you do to resist the lust and temptation? It has been really hard for me. I am not going to fake it.
Well, that's a good question.
Brother Stanley?
Well, the best way to resist lust and temptation is to begin to pray.
Mm-hmm.
Sincere prayer, not ritualistic prayer. Because the Holy Quran says in Surah 29, verse 45, the remembrance of God is the greatest force to repel evil and indecency. And Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of God be upon him, in the hadith he said, what man that has a river in front of his house and he bathes in that river five times a day, and at the end of the day, will you find any dirt on him? And if you and I pray five times a day, it prevents us from having a heart inclined to lust and temptation. The most honorable Elijah Muhammad said, the last thing that we're going to have to overcome, my brother, before the end of this world is the fire of temptation. And how you overcome, and I overcome temptation, is by prayer and fasting. Because if we can resist a natural thing like food and drink, then we can resist unnatural things like cigarettes, drugs, fornication, adultery. So prayer and fasting are two ways that you can exercise demons of temptation and lust out of your heart and my heart. And then coupled with, brother, the activity of God. Waking up with prayer on your mind. Reading God's word. Because the book of Romans chapter 10 verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing God's word. And it says in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And God says in the Holy Quran, chapter 10, verse 9, he guides the believers by their faith. Now, here it is now. What you're challenging, brother, right now is doubt. You doubt you can do it. But see, doubt undermines your faith. And once faith is undermined by doubt, then doubt disappears and hypocrisy breeds. And it looks impossible to overcome your temptation, your lust. But if you have faith, the grain of a mustard seed.
Come on.
If you have faith, the grain of a mustard seed, which is so small, if you put it in your hand, you can hardly see it. You can say to the mountain of lust, the mountain of temptation, be ye removed, and it will be so. You can say to the sycamore tree, be uprooted and be placed in the depth of the sea, and it will be so. That's how you cast it out. You got to have faith. And faith comes by hearing the word of God coming from the servant of God, the Honorable Ms. Muspar Consul. After you pray and you read God's word while you're getting dressed, put on Farrakhan and turn off that rap music. They're talking about women popping that and dropping it and twerking. All that stuff, it actually conjures up temptation. It conjures up lust. It alters your thought from original to colored. It grabs your thoughts. Don't put in that negative music. Put in the word of God. Put in music that actually encourages you to do right and turn off music that encourages you to do wrong. And then go out there and go save your people with the newspaper, the final call. Go give a good word to somebody. Go feed the homeless. And while you're doing that, your mind will be preoccupied with God, and God will take the desire of lust from your heart, the desire from temptation from your heart, and he will make you satisfied with a good wife. And whenever you see the beauty of a woman, guess what? Remember, your wife has the same thing. And go to her. And she will give you what you are looking for, because Allah says in Surah 23, the first section, restrain your sexual passions except in the presence of your wife or your mate or whom your right hand possesses. So you can, you know, you can release your passions with your wife. And guess what God will put in your wife? I bear witness. She will put complete satisfaction. She will put comfort in her. And she will give you a peace of mind. And I pray that God helps you, brother, overcome that temptation. And I want you to read, whenever you get a chance, in the book of Genesis, how Joseph overcame the temptation of the king's wife. And he said he would have desired her as well if he did not see the hand of God. And this is what it says real quickly, and we're going to close. Now, you read it for yourself, my brother. I don't want to take up time, too much time. It's almost time for us to go. Chapter 39. You can read verse 7 through 12, and I close. Prophet Muhammad said that him who prays, his sins fall from him like a leaf falls from a tree. May Allah bless you on your spiritual journey and to overcome the lust of the flesh. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam. Okay, we got about three more questions that I promised I would ask. And so, Sister Ruth, I'm going to give this one to you. Sister Anonymous says, should a sister visit a brother in another city, or should she wait until the brother is able to come and see her?
If it's courtship, I'm assuming they're in courtship.
Yes, ma'am.
We're gonna say they're in courtship. You know, if you're not in courtship,
yes, ma'am.
You know, okay. So if they are in courtship and she can afford, you know, and she does know that, you know, financial situation and she has accepted that, then I don't believe there's a problem with her going to, you know, to the city where he lives to visit, you know. But it always has to be, you know, make sure there's chaperones and the, you know, the officials know that she's coming in to, you know, go out on a date with the brother, so they can have the proper chaperones for them, you know, anytime they're together. So I would say as long as it's done the way we're taught to do it, you know, with chaperones and everything is planned and, you know, no seeing each other on their own, then, you know, I believe that it's okay because, you know, she has accepted him regardless of his financial state. She's all right with it. And if she's making the money, you know, as long as they do it right, I don't see a problem.
Okay. All right. And Byron wants to know, when should you ask a courtship mate about sexual history?
Never.
Family? Okay.
Well,
Do you concur, Brother Stanley?
I would say this. No, he should never talk about sex with the sister. Now, if they're about to, now let me just say this, sister, brother, very important. When you talk about sex, your mind is degrading. Your mind's experiencing sunset, not sunrise. Your thoughts are getting dark. Because what is your motive? Why would you ask her about sex? Why? See? And that's not a part of compatibility. Sex is not a part of compatibility at all. That doesn't qualify a marriage. Hell, dogs can do sex.
Okay, wait a minute, Brother Stanley. I want to make sure you're clear, because he says sexual history, like he wants to know her, like, you know, her history, like, how can I put it? I guess he wants to know how many people she may have been with, just to get an idea of her history. You know, because I remember a brother, Dr. Abram, who's in Mississippi, he said one brother had a bad experience in, you know, in his life before he came into the nation, and one of his questions to a sister was, were you born a woman? Because I guess he had that negative experience. So I don't think he's talking about the act of sex. He's talking about a person's sexual history. So,
okay, yeah, but the thing is that sexual history is not something that should be talked about, not unless there is a contagious disease. You know, have you ever contracted, like, for example, some people have herpes. See? Do you have any health problems? That falls under the umbrella of sexual disease, AIDS. Some people have AIDS. There was one sister who was in actual courtship, and she actually became engaged with brother. And the minister said that every person that about to get married, they should have a blood test before they get married. And she got a blood test and found out that brother had AIDS. So if she would have broke the law, like my wife said, she could have been walking around with a death warrant. See? So, as a man who's been married for 24 years to a beautiful MGT, a man who counseled married couples for over 20 years, there's no reason for you to actually talk about sexual history, how many men you've been with, what did y'all do, and all that. No, you should talk about their health status, only that which will ill affect you. Now, if there is some dysfunction, yeah, that's the health. You know, I have, you know, and then when you get, now that's only when you get like you're going to get engaged. You know, I have a erectile dysfunction, but I have a remedy for that. You see?
Mm-hmm.
Or don't. You know, that's fine. If you want to talk about, that's a health problem. That's not anything. That don't get a woman aroused. Matter of fact, it might do the opposite. But it's something that it's something that actually is something dealing strictly with health. But when you, like a brother, he can't say when last time you had sex. You can't ask no woman that. What's your motive? When you ask a woman that, what are you trying to do? Now you're trying to degrade her into what? A sexual thought. Now you want to change the conversation from Islam to when last time you had sex. Why you want to know? None of your goddamn business. And that's when the woman should be pregnant. What that got to do with courtship? Now it sounds like you want nigger shit. Am I right or wrong? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
You right.
You know, so, sexual history.
Don't remind my people of their evils in the past.
excuse me. Talk about your health history, and that encompass any kind of thing that cause your health that will affect your potential mate. That's what it should. If it's sex, some sexual dysfunctions, or you might have some problems with your sex, then she should know that when you're about to engage, when you're at that door, not to engage when you're almost there. Because if you engage and then you say something about I got herpes. Oh, no, she should have known that before you said, she said, I do. Then she might say, I don't. You see, that's something that you should be able to tell that person before the engagement, start getting serious, you know.
Uh-huh.
And everything, you got to remember this in the listening audience. You got to remember this. These things that you share is confidentiality. Everything you share is confidentiality. It's not when you collaborate evidence about someone, and if it does not work, you don't have a right to go around and spread it around to different people. That's slander.
Oh, you can say that one more again, please.
Right.
Yes, sir.
That's like a doctor going around sharing your medical records with different people while he's at the bar drinking, say, oh, you know her? Yeah, she's my patient. You know she got AIDS? You can't do that. You'll get sued. So this is something that's very serious because God will punish you for that. He will punish you for that because this person is trusting you, a believer. And believers never violate their trust. So in courtship is not
giving you a license to share with people the confidential things they share with you. So, but you don't get too sensitive information like that until, Sister Queen, until you actually are at the door that you're about to. I think he's the one. I think she's the one. And if someone really loves you, I know the sister that married a brother that had AIDS. He said, I got AIDS, but she loved him.
That's right. He was honest with her.
Yeah, but he was honest, and God blessed that brother.
To him.
Because he was honest. And so for everybody, there's somebody for you. But you got to have faith
that God loves you.
He will get someone to you, even in your condition, your health condition. I don't care what you got. There will someone will love you for who you are.
Go ahead.
Don't have no lack of faith. Who going to love me like this? Well, God has someone that will love you more than you can imagine, because God always rides in the vehicle of love. I'm telling you, there's somebody
out there waiting
for you.
That's right.
But you got to love God first. And when you love God first, that loving relationship with God will be like a magnet and attract your soulmate to you.
That's right.
Please.
Yes, sir.
In the name of God, don't lose hope in yourself. Thank you, Sister Queen, for allowing me to answer that.
Okay, and we got one more question on the phone. Brother Rashid. Oh, he just hung up. Oh, no, he didn't. Brother Rashid, are you there?
Assalamu alaikum.
Welcome, Top Soldier from Miles 45. This is my little brother, Hakeem Rashid Muhammad.
Praise be to
Allah. Come on, Black God.
Praise be to Allah. All I want to say tonight, Brother Minister Stanley, it's a beautiful show, brother. You gave a beautiful example and did a very beautiful demonstration. And my wife was like steady nudging me, telling me to give you and your wife the greeting, Sister Patricia Muhammad from Muhammad Mosque number 15, brother.
Oh,
Allahu Akbar.
Yeah.
Allahu
Akbar. She heard you, brother. So praise be to Allah. And I just want to tell you, thank you, brother, for the show. And salam alaikum.
Walaikum
salam.
Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum, Sister Patricia and Brother Charles Muhammad from Dallas, representing Muhammad Mosque number 48. Brother Stanley told me to tell you that you were teaching hard. That's all he
Praise
said.
Me.
Okay, before we go, Brother Stanley, I want you to remind us about the weekend coming up in College Park, as well as the commemorative book that you're accepting ads for. Sister Nadira, I know, is the contact person on that. But go ahead and tell us what you have up and coming, because we want to support you in those efforts in turning the College Park study group into a mosque.
Allahu Akbar. Thank you, Sister Queen, for give me this wonderful, glorious opportunity to talk about how we're going to have a great time in College Park. If you really don't actually get out the house and you really want to talk about male-female relationships and solve family problems in your life, well, on the weekend of April 25th, 26th, and 27th, College Park is the place to be. College Park, Georgia, you don't want to miss being in College Park, because we got that beautiful, powerful fireball who reminds me of the Honorable Minister Farrakhan in his early years, Brother Nuri Muhammad and his beautiful wife, Sister Terry Muhammad. Our student minister from Indianapolis, Indiana, will be coming and teaching about where do you stand in your relationship, how to build a happy family life. And on the 25th, we're going to have a Jumu'ah prayer service. We're going to ask God to bless that weekend, because we want to build a mosque in the name of Allah, that it be temple property of the Nation of Islam. And this is a fundraiser to build a mosque, something we can call our own, not renting, but owning. And then on that Saturday, we're going to get clean and get sharp, Sister Queen. Sister going to be in this right, beautiful now. Garment, huh? Smelling good, looking good, modest and beautiful. Brother's going to be sharp in their suit and tie with their queen on their arm. The single brother's going to be able to sit at the table with the beautiful single sisters, of course, being chaperoned by the married couples, but they'll be able to socialize and talk and dine finally at a hotel that had just been renovated with $27 million worth of renovation. It's absolutely beautiful. We're going to have salmon for you. And my wife went to the tasting. She said the food is tasty, delicious. We're going to have, for the vegetarian, we're going to have a nice vegetarian lasagna for you, a full course meal, dessert, coffee, and then we're going to hear from that fireball preacher, Freedom, Justice, and Equality, Brother Nuri Muhammad, and after that, we're going to have a panel discussion. We're going to get down into marriage and relationship and courtship. And where do you stand in your marriage? And how can we improve strong family life in our nation? And then after that, we're going to have here from Brother Batine, Stanley Batine. You know Stanley Batine, Sister Queen.
Oh, yes, one of my favorite musicians in the Nation of Islam. Absolutely.
He throws down, Kenny, Sister Queen. He throws down, doesn't he?
Oh, yes. I can't wait to sing with that brother.
So we're going to have live entertainment while we're eating, while you're talking, brother, the single brother, while you're talking to that beautiful MGT. And you just, oh, man, you're going to say, wow, this is my soulmate. You might meet your soulmate now. Might meet your soulmate.
Oh,
because
the singing is going to be so right.
But now after that panel discussion, we're going to dim the lights. And we're going to put a big, bright light on the stage, and we're going to have some live, righteous rapping, live, righteous R&B. We're going to have a DJ, and we're going to have a dance floor, and we're going to jam the night away.
All right. Don't nobody do it like they do it in College Park.
There ain't no party like a College Park party, because a College Park party don't stop, Sister Queen. And
all
it's
right
all
now.
For only $50. But for couples, you get a discount when you're married. So get married so you can get a discount. No, I'm not. I'm just joking. But get married when it's time to get married. But the benefits of marriage is that blessings is only $80 for a married couple. And if you want to be a VIP, we got a VIP ticket, only $100. You'll be right there at the front, and we got so many perks for you as a VIP. You come, and I guarantee you, you're going to have some blessings as a VIP. You're going to get a free DVD of the lecture. You're going to actually have a good picture with Brother Nuri, and you're going to have one of them non-alcoholic, you know, drinks right there on your table. When everybody's going to drink the lemonade, you will have lemonade and a little bubbly, righteous bubbly, non-alcoholic. Great time. And then the next on Sunday, we're going to have a powerful meeting right there at the Holiday Inn. Please call 404-232-5818 to get your tickets now. 404-232-5818. We got hotel rooms. It's $59 a night. They're going fast. And if you can't get that, we only have a certain amount of those. That's a very cheap rate. They're normally $139 a night, but it's $59. But if you miss that, we got one for $79 a night. Please call and reserve your hotel room. Enjoy your time in Atlanta. It's a beautiful city. We're going to have a good, righteous time. We're doing it in the name of Allah. We are helpers of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Now, for the ad book, you can go, and for the tickets as well, go to our website, www.collinsparksga.com. That's www.collinsparksga.com. All the information I'm telling you is on there. Get your ticket. They're going fast. I'm telling you, I got a whole 15-passenger van, inshallah. We're coming from Decatur, Alabama. They want some tickets. We got people coming from New York, all over the country. This is going to be a wonderful, like a miniature Savior's Day. Thank you, Sister Queen, for allowing me to share. We're looking forward to seeing you at the family, Hallabilla Happy Family Life Weekend in College Park, Georgia.
Well, I didn't make any promises, but we'll see. All praises due to Allah. And I just want to remind you, Brother Stanley and Sister Ruth, you know I'm going to put y'all on the spot. I need y'all to come back next week because we need to talk about trials of marriage. We got so many marriages that are going through trials. So if it's feasible, because I know we can talk about it later, because I know you're getting ready for your big weekend, but we'll talk about it. But that's the topic for next Thursday, trials of marriage. And then tomorrow, join us for our live study group with Student Minister James Muhammad, as he has a special guest. He has the brother Imam from Tampa, Florida. Don't ask me his name because I forgot. But we have the leader of the BYC, Building Your Community, Brother Jihad Amos Muhammad, will be joining him. And then on Saturday at 8 p.m., we're going to be back with part two of Black Youth and Law Enforcement, where we will have a couple of police officers, Sheriff's Deputy Shannon Powell, Officer James Smokey Phillips, and we're going to have the members of the BYC from Tampa, Florida, along with Brother Jihad, to tell us their encounters with the police and how our children need to handle that situation. On Sunday, 6:30 p.m., join us with Brother Jamil, Student Minister Emeritus Jamil Muhammad, as he launches his new show, What Must Be Done, and he will be joined by Student Minister Troy Muhammad of Muhammad Mosque Number 1, our Mecca in Detroit, as well as my minister, Student Minister Robert Muhammad, Southwest Regional Representative for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan from March 45 in Houston. And, of course, on Monday, Brother Kareem will be back with Conscious Black Nation. And on Tuesday, we'll be back here at 7 p.m. with Brother Rudolph and Sister Lachelle on Disaster Preparedness. Wednesday, DJ Black Caesar and Friends, our hip-hop comedy show at 7 o'clock. And next Thursday, I'll be right back here with the Trials of Marriage and Inshallah with Student Minister Stanley and Sister Ruth. But if not, we'll get somebody to talk about this very, very important issue. Thank you all for staying overtime with us. Thank you for all your questions in the chat room. I'll get to you all. Thank you for everybody who called in. May Allah continue to bless us all with the light of understanding as we leave you, as we came before you, in our nation's greeting words of peace. As-salamu alaykum. One nation, one love. Thank you, Student Minister Stanley.
Thank you,
Queen, Sister Ruth. Love you both so very much.
Love you too.
Yes, sir. Praises to Allah. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum
as-salam.